In 1978, there was a farmer on the Paardeberg, that is now in the Swartland, but on the border of the Swartland and Paarl. Basically, half the mountain is in the Swartland, and the other half of the mountain is classified as Paarl. And this guy is on the Paarl section, on the southern end, to, sort of facing towards Paarl. And he planted a vineyard for production. He was supplying grapes for the big co-op. And he planted Chenin Blanc, bush vines. And he produced a really great crop for 15 years, or a little bit less than 15 years. And when the crop went down, the production, he basically thought to himself that this vineyard is not going to make money anymore. There's too little grapes. But we know that when the crop settles, when the production settles down after about 15 years, the quality becomes a lot better, and that's a stage where a vine actually starts to producing really good wines. But this guy was focused on quality, so he said he's going to remove the vineyard. But in that stage, he didn't have cash, so instead of removing the vineyard, he just left the vineyard. So the vineyard was on the edge of the farm. He just left it. The vineyard grew in the bushes, in the trees. All creeped all over the ground for 25 years. So that's a long time. Then, meantime, the farm got sold. A new guy bought it, a guy called André de Toey. And André de Toey employed the same viticulturist that consults for me on a part-time basis. His name is Jaco Engelbrecht. And Jaco looks after all the farms in the warmer area for me, as well as Elgin. And he was walking with the farmer, and the farmer said, "Oh, you must check, there's vines growing in that tree over there." So they walked into the felt, into the bushes, and they saw this vine growing in a tree. And then they saw another one, and then another one. And then they realized this is actually a row of vines. So obviously a lot of them died over the years. So there was lots of gaps, but there was a lot of vines still alive. So Jaco phoned me and said, "Peter, this is what's happening here. If we go, and if the farmer spends the money and he does go through all the effort in cleaning all around each vine and we restore the vineyard, will you buy the grapes?" So I said, "For sure, I love a great story." So I'm there. So they started cleaning around each vine. And in my, I thought the vines are going to have these big arms, thick arms, because it's been there for 40 years. But if you don't prune a vineyard and you just let it be, then it creeps all over the place. And the arms of the vine, the frame of the vine, stay thin and flimsy. So, and everything lies on the ground. If it can't go into a tree, it'll just lie on the ground. And all the grapes were hanging in the sand and it'll rot. So when we started, obviously you can't just prune the vine back, it's going to die. So it was a process of over the years pruning it back little bits at a time. The first crop we picked from the vineyard was in 2018. We made one barrel from the vineyard. And then 19 and 20 we threw away. And the reason for that is because now we were farming to actually get the vine to carry grapes. And as the production increased slightly, the weight of the grapes pulled down the vine to the ground, and all these bunches were lying in the sand. And once the bunch touches the sand, it'll rot wherever it touches the sand. And then the whole bunch will rot. So we lost two vintages after each other. The other thing that we started doing is, obviously there's lots of open spaces in the vineyard. So there's lots of gaps where vines died. So then we got hold of different varieties. Now, the varieties I'm going to mention now, this happened over 5 years. So each time we could get something interesting, we'll get a couple of plants, and in those gaps, we'll just plant whatever we could find. And then whenever we find another interesting variety, we'll plant a bit more. So at the moment, the bulk is Chenin Blanc, because it's the original vineyard. And then the gaps are now filled with Grillo, Petit Manseng, Picul Blanc, Semillon, Viura, Palomino, and I think that is it. So at the moment, when we picked the 2022, we picked a field blend of all of those varieties. So the idea is that in 5 years from now, we're going to pick a vineyard as one, and it's going to produce a wine so unique that you cannot find that wine anywhere in the world. And I bottled the 2018 and I felt like I'm going to call the wine Oer Begin. Oer means starting all over. Oer Begin, new beginnings. It's Afrikaans. And I did this lino sketch of this man abandoning a vineyard. So he's walking away from a bush vine. Or you can actually turn it around and say, okay, this is the guy that actually found the bush vines. But I actually did it the way that the guy is walking away from it. In the 2018 was just fermented in pure wood. We've made one barrel. 2021, this vintage, everything was made in amphora. So we picked the vineyard as a whole. So we picked Chenin, Grillo, Petit Manseng, Pico Blanc, Semillon, Vioro, and Palomino. Everything at once. And some of the grapes were overripe. Some of the grapes were underripe. But if you mix everything, you're supposed to get like a good combination between everything. That all went into a whole bunch press, juice straight into amphora, spontaneous fermentation, 1 year in amphora. So no new oak, just amphora. We bottled one amphora, 600, 700 bottles, very little. But just as we just picked now, as I'm talking the 2023 vintage just now, we got 2.4 tons from the whole block. So the production is increasing every year and the wine is becoming more complex. But that is Oer Begin 2021.